Hey, Justin Bader here, and this is Ascend Live. Let's talk about writing strong bullets for your resume. This is such a critical skill, such an important thing to be able to do, to clearly summarize your professional experience, your accomplishments in bullet point form. Absolutely critical in the resume. So our essential question today is, how can I write the strongest possible bullets to describe my accomplishments in my resume? Bullet points are absolutely critical because they make your resume easier for the reader to skim. And that is huge, right? When you're trying to get in the yes pile, when you're trying to get your foot in the door and land an interview, you've got to stand out to the person who's going through this huge stack of applications and looking for stuff. They just want something to jump out at them and tell them that you are someone not to be missed. You are someone that they've got to put in the yes pile. The resume bullet's job is to help the reader discover why they should put you in the yes pile. And when we use bullets correctly, they organize key information and kind of combine it and summarize it so that it just makes sense, so that it's easy for someone who's not paying a lot of attention, who's just kind of skimming, kind of speed reading, moving really quickly, to grasp why you're such a qualified candidate. Bullets can do a really great job of that. And because of their particular format, their particular nature, they enforce a discipline on you as the writer of the resume to include only the most relevant information. And this is tricky. It's tricky to get these bullets right, but when you do, it is powerful because you've cut out all the fluff and you focused on just the evidence of your accomplishments. It's going to make the biggest difference in getting you on to the next stage of the hiring process. Now, it's key to understand that bullets belong primarily in your resume. There's almost nowhere else where you're going to use bullets in the application process. They do not belong in the cover letter. If you're using bullets in your cover letter, it's just not the right format and you're wasting some space. So they belong in your resume, especially in the professional experience section. And I'm going to specifically recommend that you not use bullets almost anywhere else, right? There's just almost never a good reason to use bullets elsewhere, especially in your cover letter. Don't use them in your kind of candidate profile or anything like that, because when you use bullets in other formats or in other places, what happens is they become unsupported claims rather than serving as what they should, which is evidence of your qualifications. So I know I've made some pretty specific statements there, and I'm gonna back that up right now. So here is where bullets belong. In that section of your resume where you're describing your professional experience, under each job, you want to list some bullet points. Now, this is an example screenshot. This is not really a full-length resume here, so this is actually shorter than it should be. But under each position, you should have somewhere between 5 and 7 bullet points describing your accomplishments in that role, right? You're gonna list specific accomplishments. You're gonna kind of cluster different things together so they make sense. And that is going to provide the detailed evidence of your accomplishments in that particular role. Now, we're not gonna talk about the whole resume, but if you need help organizing your resume, we have a detailed step-by-step PDF guide, as well as a training called the Resume Blueprint that you can get at principalcenter.com/application. You can get that bundle for $19 when you try Instructional Leadership Association membership, and I highly recommend that you do that. So even when my coaching clients that I help one-on-one come to me and say, hey, what do you think about my resume? Often I'm referring them back to that and I'm saying, here's what I think you should do and here's why, and here's a step-by-step guide how to do it. You can get that same help in that resume blueprint guide at principalcenter.com/application. And all of this is engineered to make the reader's job easier. So you are going to do some hard work in the process of putting together your resume in order to make the reader's job easier so that they can put you in the yes pile. The reader is a skimmer. They're not really reading, they're skimming, and we want to help them do that job effectively and find the most important information about your qualifications. But you've got to understand, they're not going to work very hard to do that, right? I hate to say it, I'm sad to say it, but it is the truth. The reader of hundreds of applications for all these different jobs that are open in the district is not going to pay very much attention to your specific resume. So you've got to do everything you can to make the most important information stand out. But what you've got to understand is that they are not a computer, right? They're a person. They're not scanning for keywords. They're not the Google bot that crawls every website in existence and finds the best page or the best resume. And then they call that person, you know, like they're a human being reading with a limited attention span. They're probably tired. So do them a favor and make it easy for them to find that key information. And there's a sweet spot for how long your bullet points should be. If they're too short, they're going to seem flimsy. They're going to seem unsupported. If they're too long, then, you know, you might as well use a big, ugly paragraph of text because they're not going to be easy to read. So we want to take advantage of that sweet spot in terms of cognitive engagement. We want to catch the reader's attention. We want to provide compelling details about your professional experience and your accomplishments, but we want to make sure that the bullets are neither too short nor too long. And we want to make sure that the lists are not too long as well. Because if you have a laundry list that's like 25 items long of just all your accomplishments, all your skills, all your experience, nobody's going to read that, right? So we've got to keep this to a reasonable length. And we've got to also make sure that whether we're doing it in list format or in some other format, that we're not trying to engage in keyword stuffing. Now, Google is actually pretty smart about this. If you try to stuff a web page with all sorts of keywords just to trick Google into thinking that your website is about something that it's not about, Google's pretty savvy to that. And human readers are also pretty savvy to keyword stuffing. So even though maybe there are some systems that can search for keywords, overwhelmingly, your resume is going to be read by a human being who's just looking for evidence that you are a person not to be missed. So don't try to do any kind of keyword stuffing trickery. Don't try to come up with these huge lists of skills and topics that you're familiar with or topics that you have experience in. Stuffing your resume with long lists like this is going to give the impression that you are making claims without evidence. And this is not the place to do that. You want to make claims that are 100% backed by evidence in your resume. And these long lists, I see these all the time, especially in things like candidate profile. Okay, you do not need a candidate profile section in your resume that looks like this, where it's just cluttered with, you know, different skills that you supposedly have. Because what are each of those skills? They're not really evidence. They're not skills. They're claims that you have skills unaccompanied by evidence. And the evidence is absolutely key when it comes to the resume. It's actually worse to include a claim with no supporting evidence than it is to simply not mention it at all. And if your bullet points are so short that they're basically just, you know, talented or collaborative or innovative or whatever, then that is an unsupported claim that actually makes things worse, and it would be better to leave it out. So if you have, you know, a point that you want to make, maybe it's just a bullet point right now, maybe it's not detailed enough to really serve as evidence, but if you know you want to include something, think about how you can expand that with specific evidence so that it does the job you want it to do. All right, we also want the list overall not to get skipped. So it's critical that your lists have 7 items or fewer. I recommend 5 to 7 items in a list for a given section of your work history to break up the flow of things so that people can kind of process it in manageable chunks. If you have more than 8 bullets, I think you've really got to whittle that down a bit, condense things, combine things, cut things out if they don't make the cut. Because if you have more than 8 items, it really just starts to look like a giant paragraph of text, right? Have you ever read a book that was just giant, giant, giant paragraphs, right? The line breaks are just not there, and there's a block like this big of text. It's intimidating. It's difficult to read a big block of text like that. And even textbooks now know to break that up, right? Because people just have trouble reading those huge blocks of text. So keep your lists short, even when you're using bullets. Limit yourself to 7 at most. Next, you want to make sure that you are not listing duties in your resume. There's absolutely no reason to list routine duties in your resume, because if you have listed the job that you're doing, if you said assistant principal, okay, well, people know what an assistant principal does. There's absolutely no reason for you to say discipline, supervision, teacher evaluation, lunchroom. You don't have to put that stuff on your resume if it says assistant principal, because it's assumed that anybody who's been an assistant principal has that type of experience. What you want to put instead is your specific accomplishments under that role. So rather than something that would be a routine duty, like observed and evaluated teachers using Danielson framework, You want to say what the specific past tense accomplishment was. Provided direct support for 5 new teachers through a 6-week instructional coaching cycle, resulting in proficient ratings for 4 teachers and an intensive improvement plan for 1 teacher. Great. We're specific. We're detailed. We're talking in the past tense. I see a lot of bullets that are written in the present tense because the person thinks, well, I'm still doing this job. I'm still performing this duty, so I'm just going to write it in the present tense. Don't do that. It sounds weird, and it creates a unparalleled language. So like if you have something that says something like handle student discipline and attendance, well, that's in present tense, right? You want to put that in the past tense and be much more specific about what your accomplishments were and get away from that duty description. So you might say something instead like implemented a new behavior matrix, reducing office referrals by 42% compared to the previous year, developed attendance plans for students with chronic absenteeism, resulting in a 28% reduction in cases referred to truancy court, right? And that would be an appropriate length for one bullet. Notice that it's actually 2 sentences. It's got quite a few clauses there, and it's 2 things that are not exactly the same. So behavior and attendance might be kind of related, but they're not the same thing. If you want to have a manageable number of bullets and help the reader see related things together, it's okay to combine 2 different areas of responsibility, 2 different accomplishments together in one bullet. You want them to be detailed enough to have good evidence, but you don't want them to be this detailed. Take a look at this one. Conducted a detailed staff and student survey analyzing data to identify areas for improvement. Inconsistent application of consequences was cited as a concern. Met with a committee of staff to develop a new behavior matrix, blah, blah, blah. 42% students and staff reported an increase in satisfaction. Surveys conducted via SurveyMonkey in April. Okay, we've got way too much detail here. The reviewer who is, remember, skimming your resume does not need to know that this was a SurveyMonkey. They do not need to know every step of the process. They need to know what your accomplishment was. So you want to focus on the accomplishment, not the whole process, not the whole 9 yards, not what the reaction of everybody was. If you have some specific data, absolutely cite that. That's fantastic. If you can say that office referrals were reduced by 42% or teacher satisfaction increased in the follow-up survey, if you can be specific about that, great. But don't get lost in the weeds of the story here, because this is not the place to tell a story. You can tell a story in your interview, but you're going to lose the reader who's just skimming, right? They're not really paying attention too much. You've definitely lost them if your bullets are this long. So you want to be in this sweet spot, like I have at the bottom of this slide here. So if your bullets are too long, cut them down. If they're too short, you can combine them. So if you have related accomplishments, you might combine them like this. Developed a culture of collaboration by conducting staff climate survey, providing professional development on effective collaboration, and implementing common planning time for grade level teams. Okay, all of those are accomplishments. None of them are duties. They don't get too lost in the weeds, in the details of the story, and they convey what stands out about you and something, you know, transferable that you would bring to a new role. All right, so hopefully that is helpful in terms of writing individual bullets. If you do this, if you write those longer bullets, you may be thinking, okay, is my resume going to be too long? And the answer to that is, first, yes, this is going to make your resume longer. If you're going from just very brief, you know, 2 or 3 bullets per position to longer bullets and up to 7 per position, yes, your resume is going to get longer, but that is a good thing. If you have more than 10 years of experience, you definitely need 2 to 3 pages to adequately convey your experience. And there's a lot of advice out there. There are a lot of people telling candidates, don't go over 1 page on your resume. I have to tell you, if you follow that advice, you are going to be at a huge disadvantage. Do not, hear me on this, do not cut your resume down to 1 page. Unless you are just brand new to the profession and you can't think of anything else to put, having a 1-page resume is going to hurt you, not help you. If you have a lot of experience, if you have a lot of experience in different positions, a lot of accomplishments to talk about, you know, follow the advice I already gave you, but don't limit your resume to an arbitrary number of pages. I've seen lots of resumes that really needed 3 pages just to get through the professional experience, and they flowed beautifully. You are not going to bore the reader with exciting accomplishments, right? If you go into a bunch of, you know, not very interesting, not very compelling stuff, yeah, it can be too boring, but it can't just be too, like, there's no arbitrary length limit. What you may want to do is simply provide less detail for your older positions and more detail for your current and more relevant positions, or even older positions if they were very relevant. So again, don't worry about limiting it to one page. That will hurt you. The bottom line here is that you've got to provide evidence to the reader that you deserve an interview, that you deserve to move on to the next stage of the process. And the cover letter is going to make some claims about that, right? In the cover letter, you're going to say, hey, my name's Justin, and I'm interested in this position, and I deserve an interview. You're not going to say it that way, but you're going to basically send the message of who you are and why you deserve an interview. And you're going to provide some evidence in the cover letter, but the bulk of the evidence is going to reside in the resume, where you're listing specific accomplishments. And you want to strike a balance between the level of detail that you're providing and the readability, the skimmability of that resume. So keep those bullets in the sweet spot. Make sure you have enough, but not too many. And again, don't neglect the cover letter. You know, the cover letter has to do a lot of the actual making of the argument, because the resume is basically just facts about your accomplishments. If you do need help with your cover letter, most people do. Most people have big opportunities to make their cover letter better. We actually have a cover letter generator spreadsheet that dozens of our members have used this hiring season to write just incredible cover letters very, very quickly. It takes less than an hour to use, and it's completely unique and customized to you. And yet you don't have to do 90% of the writing. I've done all the writing, given you multiple choice kind of Mad Lib options where you fill in the blank or select multiple choice. Different ways to say different things. Generates a very strong cover letter, and I've got almost an hour and a half long training on exactly how to use that. And you can get that as part of the Ascend application bundle if you go to principalcenter.com/application. If you are a member, you already have access to this. We sent it to you last week. So make sure you do check out that bundle, because there are some great resources there. When you get that Ascend application bundle, you also get the resume blueprint, training and guide, and quite a bit more. So that is it for this episode of Ascend Live. I'm Justin Bader. I hope this has been helpful. I would love to hear about the revisions that you make to your resume bullets based on this training. So shoot me an email. Let me know, Justin@principalcenter.com. Take care.